Cloud. Hey Dan, hey Dan, hey Dan, how you doing this great day? Huh?
Yes, Bob. Happy Thursday. You know, the date today, 12/12/24. I suppose you could have that happen more often, but the month and the date equal the year. It's meaningless trivia.
That's just absolutely phenomenal. That I could go to sleep thinking about that. Listen, so we have a friend who we're just talking about before we got started that, you know, not typical, but let's say he's, you know, in his middle age area and he has been a good salesman all his life and now he's looking for another job. So we're talking about how people characterize themselves these days. And I start out by saying, you never want to say you're a salesman now. People don't respect selling anymore. Marketing, revenue producer, business development guy, right? But they don't respect the concept of selling. And it goes way back to the tech companies. The tech companies generally don't believe you need salespeople.
Yeah. Yeah. They just think I was in there. They just think their product is so great that it's just easy. Just go out, buy somebody lunch or play golf with them. That's all you do and make it a big commission check.
They believe that. And it's particularly ones that are run by financial people or even tech people. Like I always talk about Apple. Apple never had a sales department. They said they didn't need one. They built products that people wanted. I was up to this Apple store yesterday. I was looking at Mac Minis and iMacs, and my wife was looking at some watches. And the guy was there, and we didn't buy anything. But he showed me some things on my laptop that I'd never had used before. You know, I have trouble with my eyes, and he told me to go into the settings and go to what they call accessibles, I think. And he showed me how to do some things, and I did them, and it's very helpful. Anyway, it was a whole area of settings that I've never been to before.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because you could look at that similar to like you from a standpoint of user of Microsoft Word or Microsoft Excel. You are probably the most advanced user that I know, quite frankly, even people that have been assistants.
Well, you don't know many people, but
I know you are, but that's the way it is with technology is people use about maybe 40% of the capabilities.
Yeah. And it's very true of Word and Excel. I have people that still don't know how to redline a document. They think I mean to highlight it in red.
Yeah.
Now, just to go back, I didn't get to make my point. When you go to an Apple store, these people are not tuned in on you anything. They just want to make sure you're happy with the product. So they were showing my watch, my wife things. And if this guy would have just said, gosh, this upgrade, this watch would be better for you, we'd have bought it in a minute. But I said, you know, what's the main feature between the one she has, the 10 and the 12? And he said, well, there's no big improvement. He said, I think you're okay for the next couple of years till we come out with another version of the product. My point is, when I went to the Mac Mini, he said the same thing. I was saying, you know, my problem is I got to keep my monitor to my left, bingo, and my laptop's in front of me. And that's kind of, you know, if I had an iMac, I'd be looking straight ahead. And I also tried to put my monitor in front of me, but higher than my laptop, but that doesn't work because I still can't, I have to be within like about 7 inches of the screen in order to use my glasses. Anyway, the point is you have to remarket yourself as a salesperson. I don't know this person that well, but the first thing I always tell people, if you're looking for a job, or become a consultant, bingo. That's the first thing you do, because people, then when they ask you what you're doing, you say, I provide consulting. Now, if so, for example, if you're an expert in the cybersecurity area, you'd immediately say, yeah, I provide consulting for cybersecurity corporations. And, you know, you become a consultant.
Yes.
And people know that's what I call a port in a storm. A port in a storm. Yeah,
that's brilliant. And talking about Apple, and one of the books I've recommended, I've bought it and given it to people, but who was the first real, we didn't have necessarily salesman, but remember Guy Kawasaki?
Yeah, he wasn't a sales, he was a marketing guy.
Yeah,
Yeah.
he wrote the book Selling the Dream, and he labeled himself, which is very true,
Yeah.
an Apple evangelist. You know, everybody thinks
Right.
evangelists
And
think
I
of
think
Billy
that's a
Graham.
very good idea. Now, see what he did in that book, by the way, was that he was the one that wrote the rollout plan for the Apple computer. And it
Yeah.
was like a 40-page marketing plan. And that really set him up in the whole business. But yeah, he did a very good job in my mind of selling himself after he left Apple.
Yes.
Or marketing what he knew from Apple. He leveraged what he knew from Apple, right? Now, that would never have worked if Apple had failed. So it worked only because Apple succeeded and he was blessed with that relationship, right?
Right.
So anyway, going back again to this issue of how you reposition yourself is very important. I'm thinking about it right now. For example, I'm pretty well convinced that next year I'm going to ride through the expert witness business that I have. I'm not going to take on any more projects. I have enough for next year, a couple of trials coming up. So the question is, how do I reposition myself for what I want to do next, whether it's being upcoming a writer or remarketing myself to law firms? So I think people go through this routinely. I kind of look forward to it. I'm repositioning our software business. I'm repositioning my web talk business, my consulting business. I've changed the websites on both of them, and I'm still making changes. So I think, if you're looking for a job, the first thing is you do is become a consultant. Second thing is put yourself up a website that describes your consulting activities,
Yes.
and then get a couple of clients. Whether they pay you or not is irrelevant.
Yeah.
So what I mean is you have to reposition yourself because people they'd rather steal you from a company than have you explain why you left the company or were laid off or whatever. It just they don't want to deal with that, most people.
You know, that's so true, Bob. I can't
Yeah.
tell you how many times when I was on top, making, you know,
Yeah.
President's Club winners, that I get calls from competitors or similar markets that they say, "Hey, we want, you know, we know heard of your success. We want you to come over." But
Yeah.
then, let's say your quota gets doubled, and you
Yeah.
go from hero to zero, right, in
Yeah.
a year. All of a sudden, you've got to almost be begging to come on with them
Yeah.
when 2 years ago they were trying to hunt you, and.
It's all positioning and messaging. That's what I'm
Yeah.
saying, right?
Sometimes you're only as good as your last success or your last year. That's
Well,
not.
in a way that's true, but what I'm really saying is you have to change the way you characterize what you do. Somebody says, what are you doing now? Why did you leave your last job? I left my last job because I really wanted to become an independent consultant for a while. That's what I'm doing. Now I'm looking around for another position. But you have to have some message that makes the person that's interviewing you less
And
concerned about
immediate.
hiring you.
Exactly. And immediately. You can't like pause
Yeah.
or
Oh
look up.
no.
You can't look
Right.
up
Yeah.
into your left, or
Yeah.
you got to look at them and say, boom, I've just finished a book and I'm doing speaking all over the country. That's what 2019, when there was a merger. I mean, I'm sure our listeners, a lot of people out there, companies merge. And the next thing you know, 40% of the sales force is gone for whatever reason.
Right. Sure.
And so, boom. I've just written a book. I'm
You
doing
see,
public speaking and sales training on it. But getting back
people
to
will tell
Apple,
you
because I think for
hiring
our
managers.
listeners or viewers, Guy Kawasaki, Bob and Dan, as we banter, but also we want to encourage you, Selling the Dream. You can get that as a used book, Selling the Dream by Guy Kawasaki. It will
Yeah.
motivate you, pump you up.
Yeah. It's only 25 years old, so if you want to read something that's kind of out of date, I'd recommend that book.
Hey, you know what?
What?
Enthusiasm and evangelistic type motivation, I don't think it ever goes out of date.
Well, let me be more specific. The information in that book is nothing special. It only exists because of the Apple business plan that's in the back of the book in the appendix.
Yeah.
That's why
And
most people want to buy the book. But
it's
the book has
timeless.
got probably 30 years old. But the point
Yeah.
is that if you want an inspirational book, there's all kinds of better inspirational books today. But frankly, If you want to get inspiration, just get on the phone and talk to people, or go down to Kansas City Mercy Hospital and go visit the Children's Cancer Ward.
Oh,
You'll walk away
boy.
inspired, because you'll
That's a
see
good
people
one.
that have a real problem.
Yeah.
They're not looking for a job. They're just trying to take another breath, and
Yeah.
you'll feel pretty good about yourself. So what I'm driving at is that there's many ways of getting inspiration, but generally in my mind, inspiration doesn't come from books. It comes from other people around you who say something to you like you're doing a good job or inspire. At least in my case, I'm not inspired by a book. I can read the words. Oh yeah, all the idioms and idiosyncrasies and all the things in the book, but I get inspired by other people. I talk to my granddaughter. I get inspired.
Yeah,
So
that
that's all I'm
you
saying.
nailed it.
Right.
Listening to this podcast and talking to people, calling them up, picking up the phone. That's why I called our mutual friend Mike this morning, is because to not only to encourage him, but I needed encouraging talk on a certain relationship that he's familiar with in my romantic side of my life. And so he was both good. I encouraged him, he encouraged me. And that's what you and I try to do is people get hopefully a smile. They learn something when they listen to banter. And it's we exist in this to try to, hey, get people thinking, be encouraged.
Okay, so what's new, other than the fact that Trump is on the cover of Time magazine, right?
That's what I was thinking. So this is ironic. You got the current president and the soon-to-be president both making headline news this morning. Trump, Time Man of the Year, and then you have Joe Biden, who did apparently the highest number of pardons ever done by a president in a day. And so you got people highlighting both of those gentlemen, and
Well,
it's always
on the
interesting how
pardons,
the
did he pardon anybody that's already in jail?
pardon.
Did Biden pardon anybody that's already in jail?
Yeah, my understanding is that there are people that are on jail that in jail that are either seriously ill and they let them have home confinement, or they were in jail for some crimes that today would be a significant lesser
Yeah.
offense.
So the answer is he did pardon some people that were in jail.
Yeah, I think like
Right.
over 1,500.
And they would probably then get out of jail. Well, I don't care how many people he pardons, frankly. He can pardon all he wants. That's the property of the president. And again, it's kind of like the same way I feel about Trump should be able to get the people he wants for his cabinet. If the president can pardon people and Biden wants to pardon these people, I'd say then go ahead and do it. Now, did he do any preemptive pardons?
I didn't see, now just the news this morning, I didn't see that he did any preemptive pardons that are going to protect someone. My hunch is he's going to wait until January 19th, the day before the inauguration, or the last week to do that, unless he's thinking he wants to make sure he gets these written into place prior
Now,
to.
let me ask a question. Have you ever heard of a preemptive pardon before by a president?
The last time I even heard about it was 4 years ago when Trump was worried about some of the legal issues, and there was talk he was going to preemptively pardon his family members and himself, but he didn't do that. I don't know enough
Interesting.
about that to pontificate on it. But as you said, you know what? If you've reached the hardest, the most powerful, toughest job in the world, and the Constitution allows you to pardon people, so be it. That's what you can do. Let's
I'd say
grant
pardon.
unto Caesar that which is Caesar's.
Yeah, and as I understand it, he can pardon all the people he wants. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, he just pardoned all the people that's in jail. He just said they're all pardoned.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah. So, but also, so then, so Trump's. Man, my dog is kind of excited. Hercules is excited in the background there, you can hear. Trump, Man of the Year. You know, it's interesting. 2016, he was Man of the Year when he went into office the first time. And I think the honor and the Time magazine, when they announced it, they worded it because he was the person most in the news for both the good and the bad. So they did say they kind of balanced it, but he was the biggest newsmaker of this last year, and indeed, which he was. And for the most part, since he got elected, I think, I'd be curious what you think, Bob, but he's really tempered a little bit his style and rhetoric to try to stay focused on the tasks at hand. I was a little disappointed his comments after the FBI director basically respected Trump's wishes that he was going to get rid of him anyway, even though Trump appointed Director Ray. Ray steps down, and Trump says on Truth Social, which I just don't think is necessary. I mean, I don't think it's necessary to say it's the greatest day ever because he raided my house and he, you know, you don't need to say that. You just need to say, you just need to try to stay reasonably respectful. Director Ray served our country, and we're moving on to a new type of FBI in the years ahead.
So you want him to lie?
I don't want him to lie because, in my opinion, this is where we're going to banter, baby. Banter, the banter boys.
Was Ray in charge of raiding Trump's house in Mar-a-Lago?
He did not raid Trump's house.
Was he in charge of it?
He was ahead of the FBI, but it was not a raid.
What was it?
Okay, you got to look at, and I'm not trying to go after Trump, but just the fact of the matter is, Trump had documents that...
You know, let me ask a question. If it wasn't a raid, what was it?
It was a search.
Okay.
It was labeled a search of the property, and
all
they
right,
found
okay.
what they were looking for. Because yeah. in the 2 years prior, President Trump and his attorneys and his staff and his of counsel, whatever,
right,
had been asked, hey,
so,
you've got some
words,
documents.
So it's okay for them to go in and handle his wife's underwear, huh? What were
I
they
don't
looking
believe
for
it.
There?
I don't believe that. That's classic. You and I have talked about this, how the media, you get some media saying that, and it goes way out
no,
there.
No,
It's all over the
I've
place.
never heard any media say that. I heard Ivanka Trump say it.
Yeah.
She said, they went into my drawer. They messed with my night clothes, right? That's what she said. I never heard any media ever quoted. I think they were afraid to do it. Anyway,
well, she said it,
I
it
think
went
it's
out
fine.
there
I think
everywhere.
The guy should resign
The
because...
fact of the matter is he had property that he took that he should not have taken,
Well,
some
that's an
national
opinion.
security
That's not a
secrets.
fact. That's an opinion, right? It's not a fact. So some court says it's a fact. And they, I don't think they've even, well, I don't want to get into the documents because it's kind of a crappy thing. Anyway, who gives a crap? He had some documents. He gave them back. It's over. Forget it. The issue with Ray is, there. What's his name, that resigning, he only resigned because he gets a better deal if he resigns and if he's fired. That's all. I wish he'd just say that. I'd say,
I don't
hey,
know.
I get a better deal because if I resign, I get some of my, you know, he's going to get paid forever. He was there for, what, 7 years, right?
Yeah.
As far as Trump's, you know, he said what he said. What else is going on? It's really.
Well, what do you think? You're a man that studies the markets and financially,
right.
And our listeners, viewers always want to know. So in December, historically, there is the stock market surges. So this next week, I think the Federal Reserve maybe might cut, although the reports yesterday showed inflation was eking up a little bit. Federal Reserve might cut rates. I think they will, maybe a quarter of a port. Will that have another surge, continued growth in the stock market? What say you, Bob Sherwood?
The market is absolutely going to skyrocket all next year because of Trump. And we've already seen that. I mean, look at what Tesla's done. Tesla, in the last 2 months, since Tesla aligned himself with Trump, has almost doubled the price of the stock.
Well,
the tech stocks are going crazy.
I
And
saw. Go ahead.
OpenAI, people are raising money. They're funding new startups, like what what's his name is doing, the Tesla guy. No, it's right now. It's the honeymoon part. Now the rally you're talking about is what the traders all call the Santa Claus rally. Every Christmas time. I actually don't know if that's true or not, but, you know, I accept it that somebody probably did some analysis and that's true. But it's going up now because people are getting hopeful again. And they're starting to understand certain things. And Understand what drives, we're getting a lot of information about what is actually driving in the economy, and people are talking about the tariffs now, which they've never talked about much before. I think people are starting to understand the tariffs. I think people are starting to understand supply side management versus demand side.
Yeah.
I think we're starting to see the Democrats are realizing too, they have to get on the train. They can't. The train is leaving the station. If they want to get on it, they got to say, look, we're in favor of cutting government spending too. Let's help these guys. The smartest thing, again, I've said it before, the Democrats can do is do a complete about face, get rid of MSNBC, which they're gone anyway. Nobody cares about them. They in a year they'll be repitching themselves somehow. But Democrats need to get on board because they have everything to gain and nothing to lose. If they get on board and Trump fails, it wasn't because of them. If they don't get on board and Trump fails, believe me, it'll be all because of them. So, but they got to get rid of that loudmouth guy from Arkansas. What's his name? James Carville. Carville.
Yeah.
He
Well,
looks
he's.
like he's dying anyway. He's becoming very, his face is becoming, what do you call it, lined with age. And he
Yeah, I
says
wonder. Let's
stupid
ask
things.
Google.
He can't say a sentence without cussing.
Yeah. Hey, Google,
He just can't do it.
how old is James Carville?
Yeah.
James Carville is 80 years old.
He's still a young man. He's 80 years
Oh,
old. 80
80.
years old.
He looks 90.
But I found the
And he
answer.
talks like he's never reads the paper. I mean, he just is such a bizarre guy that the Democrats should remove him. He acts like he's a spokesman for the Democratic Party. Remember, prior to Trump winning, he said half a dozen times, it's going to be running with. Democrats are perfect. Kamala Harris is going to be elected. I heard him so many times say it. Now, since that time, all he says is Kamala Harris ran a horrible campaign. If she'd have done what I told her to do, she'd have won. That's what he kept. He recognizes that he can say anything, get away with it.
Yeah.
Because somebody will quote him because he's a
Well,
quotable guy.
he's a firebrand. He is a people know if they have him on, he's going to say something that out there, what viewers are going to either go, yes, or they're going to go, that guy stinks. So it's like emotion.
He doesn't have an analytical thought in his brain.
Yeah, he's got one-sided.
Yeah, anyway, so that's Carville. Now, what else is going on as far as as far as the market goes, my feeling is anything to do with close to Tesla is going to go up. Anything in the tech area is going to go up. All Microsoft, any of the main activities. Now, you may have read that Russia.
Russia,
Just
Russia,
announced,
Russia.
pardon me.
Whenever you say Russia, you got to say Russia, Russia, Russia.
Well, let's say Putin anyway. Putin and Russia have organized an artificial intelligence group from the BRICS. BR, that's the Brazil,
Yeah.
right? And they organize it because what they're trying to do is they don't want America to get too far ahead. So China's part of it. So Russia's got Brazil and China and India. There's a big release on it somewhere. I can't remember, but I don't know what all the BRICS are. BRICS, that's
Yeah,
Brazil,
Brazil, Russia, India,
China,
China.
Japan. Anyway, the whole point is that this is something that to me is like I've never heard before. Russia is organizing a group of people in artificial intelligence to make sure that all these countries, many of which are our allies or to some degree, don't get far behind in the artificial intelligence race. Russia's organizing that. Now, the irony to me is that why the hell aren't we doing that? That's really a good idea,
Yeah, it is. Now, did you see that Trump, in his sensitivity perhaps to that, and he got a little dinged, he's now talking about a tariff against all countries that are members of the BRIC because it's going to hurt the dollar.
Oh, I didn't hear that. No,
Yeah, he just
but he can
Trump.
tariff all he wants. I mean, It's one thing to talk about it and then to do it, and then you got the implementation issue. So, let me ask you another question about tariffs. Let's say that the United States puts a 25% tariff on a Chinese product called product A. Who gets the money from the tariff?
Well, the federal government gets the money, but where does it come from is the bigger question. Does it come from the person selling the product that came
The
from
selling
China?
person has to
Yeah, not
pay the money
China.
to the federal
China
government.
doesn't pay it.
Well, I don't know who pays it. When you put a tariff on somebody, the tariff is paid by the company that ships the product. The money goes to the federal government. That's how
Yes.
tariffs work.
Yes.
So that's an interesting thing because he puts all these tariffs on these products, and the you can I won't argue whether it's good or bad. Arguing the point is that he puts all these tariffs, the federal government benefits because they get the money from the tariff.
Yes.
And you can argue all day long that, well, who eventually pays it because the company who ships product A raises their price. Well, they may do that or may not, depending on the market, right? Some markets they can't raise their price that much. But you've got interesting things. For example, let's take something as simple as Christmas goods. I mean, I understand, I don't have the data in front of me, that 90% of all the Christmas goods sold in the United States are made in China.
90%,
And
interesting.
the way you can find this out, because I read the article on this, is that this woman goes into Target to buy Christmas goods. She goes down the aisle. She looks and see where every Christmas thing she's buying is made in China. So when I'm driving at it, I said, we could maybe make that stuff here again if we wanted to, right? And
Yeah.
maybe they won't put tariffs on Christmas goods. And maybe the tariffs is more talk and less walk right now. So we have to wait and see what things look like the next 6 months. I'm only going to say one thing. Investments move on hope. Investments move on hope. Market moves on hope. Hope things will get better in the future. Trump, if he does nothing else, projects hope. How long it will last, I don't know. Maybe it's a honeymoon right now, right? But he projects hope. And so people, otherwise Tesla wouldn't have doubled in price, right?
Yeah.
Because when he talks about removing the tax benefit from electric vehicles. Well, that will hurt Tesla, but their stock doubled.
Yeah. And Elon Musk, did you see that just announced today that the richest man in the world just surpassed 400 billion to 447 billion net worth? And since he got on board with Trump, his net worth has gone up by 27%, his personal net
Well, yeah,
worth
most of it from Tesla stock.
from the Tesla stock, like you just said. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, I read something the other day that I want to bring up. The president of I think it's Penn State University. She resigned. Her name is Liz McGill, right?
Because of DEI,
Let
was that
me
it?
read what she said, right? Former Penn President Liz McGill declined to outright state that calls for the genocide of Jewish people constitute bullying or harassment under Penn's code of conduct. She was questioned at a congressional hearing, and she was asked if genocide of Jewish people constitutes bullying under Penn State Code of Conduct. She wouldn't answer. She wouldn't. Why isn't it common sense answering? Of course it's bullying. Of course it's against our code of conduct. Anyway, she refused to answer that. She got so much pressure from that she was fired, but she was resigned, right?
Yeah.
And I don't understand why she would be reluctant to say, well, sure. I mean, if your policy is to kill all the Jewish people, we call that harassment at Penn.
Banter time. I'm struggling why one of the keenest mind in expert witness world that understands litigation that yeah. knows she's not going to admit in front of a congressional hearing and the public and TV that she approves something that is discriminatory because she'd
exactly.
be sued.
But she did approve it. That's the whole point. She didn't deny it.
She didn't deny it, but she didn't agree. She didn't say, yes, we did that.
No. You didn't hear that. You didn't hear. Let me read it again.
Okay.
The issue was, does the Penn State Code of Conduct, that's the university code of conduct, does it state that killing Jewish people constitutes harassment? Are they against it?
Oh.
She said, I don't know. She said, I don't know.
Well, maybe she didn't know what if it said
no,
that.
No. She could just say, she could send that. She could say, well, if it doesn't say it, it damn sure should say it because we're certainly against genocide of Jewish people.
Yeah.
She didn't say anything. So because she didn't say anything, it was like, well, who knows why? But it was enough. It was enough of a negative, and it was such a stupid thing. How do people get to be presidents of universities and can't answer a common sense question? If somebody said to me, Mr. Sherwood, do you think genocide of Jewish people is bullying? I said, well, sure. Of course.
Yes.
Is it harassment? Of course.
Yes.
I don't have to have a PhD or run a big university to know that. It was just a stupid thing. So now she resigns. Anyway, I don't get why some of these people go before Congress. And for some reason, I guess they just get nervous or they don't hear the questions carefully. And then they answer. I'm sure she thinks today, oh, gosh, I should have answered that question differently. Well, sure, she should have.
You yeah.
know, go figure.
Interesting. So, you know, I have a little ADD. You know that squirrel, yeah. squirrel. And I get sometimes my brain bounces around. Something we talked yeah. about earlier that people should remember if they want to comment or send us ideas. WebTalkWithBob@gmail.com.
Nobody sent me an email yet.
Well, come on, listeners and viewers. But here's the thing we were talking about, salespeople. I'd like to maybe two things. One, people should write in. Here's what I would. I'm a salesperson. Here's the new what our company, the way we address it. Here's a new name for salespeople. You consultant, producer, revenue generator, whatever. Or if there is like a headhunter out there, somebody that finds jobs for salespeople, they should be a guest on our show. We'd love to have them. And they can tell us what they think about the new season, the new realm in professional salesmanship.
No recruiter is going to recruit salespeople. There's no money in it. The money is in recruiting tech people, AI people, coders, programmers.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where the money is now because that's what people want to hire. People don't, in general, people don't want to hire. Look at IBM. IBM ran the best sales organization probably in the world. Now, and the IBM salesperson, the Xerox salesperson, was a person of interest. They were professional. They wore blue suits. They wore red ties. They wore white shirts. Right?
White shirts, man. Yeah, they
that's
were
all
best.
Gone away. The IBM sales training program was probably the greatest in the world. Because why? Because selling is not looked at the way it used to. I mean, it's kind of like death of a salesman in the 21st century. It's really death of selling as a skill. And so now we call it different things. Is it still selling? Well, I don't know. I sometimes think somebody says, I call it good communicating. But yeah, you have to design a product. And with AI, you've got so many things already ready to go. I mean, particularly when you can design an email and say, I want you to rewrite this email in a friendly way, or I want you to rewrite this email in a stern way, right? That's what AI is doing. AI is having this impact on a whole different types of jobs. And speaking of that, I mean, look what Google, the last time we talked, we were talking about data centers. And I just saw another announcement that Google is spending $20 billion on renewable energy for data centers. Because these data centers require a lot of energy, right?
Yes.
Now, I don't know if they're actually going to put up windmills or not. I kind of think Elon Musk's idea was correct. He said, look, just take all the deserts where we have all the damn sun and put the solar or the windmills there. Nobody goes out in the deserts anyway, they die. He
Well, then you
said,
got to have transmission lines, which I'd see across Kansas and Missouri. There's big battles because the, you know,
well,
the.
there's no deserts in Kansas and Missouri, but where the
No, I
deserts
mean the
are, you could
transmission
put in
lines and the
transmission
power.
lines. No, but his point was, we're trying to put windmills in Palm Springs. We should be putting them in the deserts because we know the deserts have the one thing that solar energy needs. And what is that?
Sun.
Sun. So it was such an obvious idea that he just threw out there. And I thought, well, he's absolutely right. We're putting them in the wrong places, right? Yeah, you could put a cable through the deserts because there's nobody living there. They don't care, you know?
Yeah, I always get a kick out of the incoming president when he talks about windmill power or wind power, that turbines,
Yeah.
you know, killing birds. But hey, we talked about AI, so I just did this in about literally 30 seconds. Can you see President Trump?
Yes.
Now, this is a
Barely.
new AI app called Parrot. Now,
Yeah.
listen, this is hilarious. They have a lot of celebrities, Elon Musk, Trump, Biden. I'm going to
Right.
see if you can hear this and watch.
And to listeners, President Donald Trump here, your favorite president. Just like Bob Sherwood is your favorite podcaster, I am here for America. People should listen to Bob Sherwood and Dan Snell to gain ideas, insight, and have some fun. Have fun with Banter with Bob and Dan.
Did you hear
And who
that?
is that? Who is it?
What? That's Trump.
Okay, now what are you going to do with that?
Donald Trump here, your
It's an
favorite president. Okay, I heard it. And now the point is,
app that's
okay,
called
events.
Parrot.
I get that.
I
What are you
sent it
going
to
to
you.
do with it?
What do you do with it?
Yeah.
Well, if you want to send, it's an app called Parrot.ai. It's a cost to it, although there's a
I don't
sale
care
before.
about the app. I care about the promotional video you just did. What are you going to do with that video?
I could put that out there on, I imagine, LinkedIn
No.
and
What
anywhere.
are you going to do? Not what
I'm
you
going to
could
do that.
do.
I'm going to
Good.
do that.
Well,
But the
see, that's
great thing is,
important. See, what I'm driving at is that I don't think you're promoting this podcast enough. I put up something on LinkedIn almost every day.
you know what?
Go ahead.
Another Bob that I admire, Bob Balderston. Does anybody know Bob Blue Springs Ford? Hi, folks, Blue Springs Ford. I'm Bob Balderston. He was my first sale going back. This all ties together. It's like the weave that Trump says, the weave. My very first sale I ever made in my life was to Bob Balderston. And he always told me, he'd say this to me when I would say something that was right as a salesman. He'd say, Dan, I never challenge anybody who's right. And I got to say to you, Bob, I can't challenge you. You're right. I haven't done enough to promote this amazing banter
Well, you
podcast.
could have just said you'll go. You could have just. I didn't need all those disclaimers, but yeah, you need to do a little more promotion
Yeah,
because.
but I just wanted to say how great you are, the name Bob is, and Bob Balderston, and tie the context to
I
it. So
don't
you
care
know
about
me.
that, but I think the point is that I watch your analytics, and we got to get up to 100 listeners. We're not there yet, and if we can't get there in 4 months, then we'll just kick all this stuff in the trash can.
Hit the trash can.
But
Banter trash can.
like so many, Amazon gets a 20, 2,500 ideas and they throw 2,450 of them in the trash can. So we need to get to at least 100 listeners because that's kind of a magic number. Now, the other day I was going to put up the image, but I didn't get it in a PNG format or a JPEG. It was.
Well, I sent it to you as a JPEG, not a PNG. You can't put the JPEG up.
Let me ask you a question. Was the JPEG as an attachment?
I
Because
sent
I
it
didn't
both
see it.
ways. Both, I sent
Was
it.
the, let me ask it specifically. Was the image an attachment to an email?
Yes.
All right. Then I must have missed it. Then I'll look at it
I'll
again.
resend it and I'll make
Yeah.
sure it's a JPEG.
Yeah. I was going to try to load that in on my I load all that stuff in from my Web Talk with Bob website. Okay, so what else you got? We've got data centers going up in Kansas or Missouri. We got data centers going up in Iowa, in Ohio.
Refereeing basketball.
Rivian got another $7 billion to build their trucks.
Who did?
Rivian.
Did they? From Biden.
Yeah,
Yeah, and
$6.5 billion, right?
Yeah, even though what's funny is Congress in a joint action, bipartisan action, they did that infrastructure bill or whatever, and now the money, which they have the ability to do, this administration is putting that money out there to make sure it gets to the people. But now people are attacking them for what even Republican congressmen and Democrats voted for.
Well, I'm not attacking anybody. All I'm saying is that Rivian, but go to your point, Congress said to Rivian, yeah, we're going to give you up to, they always use that term, up to 6.9 billion, but they said there will be some hoops you have to jump through. And so we don't know exactly when you'll get your first lump of cash.
Yeah.
Intel was finally said, yeah, they signed the deal on their 8 or 9 billion. And they still don't know when they'll get their cash. And now it's actually apparently signed. You
Yeah.
talked about that, and it wasn't signed. Now it's signed, but they added a condition on it. And the condition was that they could not change the management structure of their foundry. So even if they sold it, they have to maintain a 51% ownership, which
Oh, interesting.
they put a
Interesting.
condition on it that might be difficult for Intel to comply with, particularly if they want to actually expand their foundry to build chips for other people. Right now, their foundry only builds chips for Intel. Anyway,
Hey, now
what
one
else?
last subject because we got to go. So, football, you and I, Kansas City Chiefs, local fans. On Christmas Day, 13 days from today, the Chiefs play on Christmas Day, which that means they're going to play 3 games in 11 days.
Right.
Patrick Mahomes' body is, he says, I'm not too excited about that. But here's the thing, it's going to be broadcast on Netflix. And if you
Yeah, I
remember the
don't get
Mike,
that. Why is that?
I Netflix paid a lot of money. But here's the thing, remember the Mike Tyson fight
Yeah.
where you'd tune in and you'd get this famous spinning wheel of death. So
Yeah.
folks can write in webtalkwithbob@gmail, tell us if they're going to watch the Chiefs on Christmas Day and on Netflix. Netflix should pay us a promotional fee here now. But we hope that Netflix has geared up all their servers so they don't have this.
Well, here's my question. Can it only be watched on Netflix?
I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah.
I believe so because they've paid for the rights for that
They
Christmas
did?
Day.
How much they pay?
Oh, I love that question. Hey, Google, let's ask our faithful
Yeah.
sidekick, Google. Hey, Google, how much did Netflix pay the NFL to broadcast the Christmas Day games this year?
On the website fox26houston.com, they say it was Netflix's first massive sporting event. Netflix, like many other top streaming services, paid around $150 million, according to the New York Post, to air the Christmas Day NFL games.
Yeah, I
Holy
can't hear it. What'd you say?
Toledo,
What? $150 million.
That's peanuts. I
That's
would think
what?
they'd have paid $1 billion for it.
$50 million on YouTube.
Hey, Google, stop. Such a.
Nicholas Cage spends
Hey,
$150
Google, stop.
million. That's nothing. 150 million?
Yeah, for the rights.
Nothing.
Yeah,
That's nothing.
but. The NFL, what do they have to do? They don't have to do anything. They just Netflix has all the cameras, all the work, all the, and they just get 150 million.
Oh, is that true? They do all the camera work too?
My understanding is that they'll have to hire the production crew. So
You have a
be
good
good.
point. If they can't handle the streaming of the game, yeah, that would not be good. But I mean, I don't want to get off the subject, but on this subject, the whole issue of what to buy now. You're going to buy YouTube. You're going to buy Roku. You're going to buy Paramount. You're going to buy AT&T. You're going to. It's there's so many things out there now to buy content. I don't really know what is the best deal. We still have cable, but all my sons have already cut all their cables and they only do internet stuff. They YouTube
Yeah.
video and Netflix, people like that. They don't do any. And if they want to buy, special things on NFL or they buy it directly, they don't do any cable.
Yeah, but it's interesting because you and I can remember the very first when cable come out, no commercials. How great is this? No
Yeah.
commercials. And now
That was a sales pitch, right?
Unless you buy the high end service, you got commercials.
Netflix, I am so irritated with them. I'll see a movie I like and I'll start to watch it, and then four ads will come on and I just stop right then.
And you, I think it depends on the different levels of Netflix.
Well, I don't know all the levels, but all I know is this, that there are a few free movies, but I notice more and more they have ads associated with almost everything there. Fox News is getting the same way.
Oh, it's terrible.
They do all
on
the
Fox
clips.
News. Yeah.
You watch a clip, you got to listen to some stupid ad.
Yeah, Fox is really on their cell phone or the iPad. But, you know, you were talking about services. One I found, a little plug for them, then is I've really been impressed with Roku. I think Roku is the Apple, is the Apple of these services, because you can tie in.
How much is Roku?
I think I pay $14.95 a month, but it is an aggregator. I can put in my Roku main menu, I can put all the apps like ABC
News. Can you get
News,
Paramount on
Paramount,
Roku?
I can put Paramount on there. So you just
you
go
sure?
to one thing and you're clicking like on
Wait,
your
I'm
cell
gonna be
phone,
sure.
like on the screen on your cell
You
phone for your
can't
apps.
access Paramount streaming on Roku, including your Roku bill.
Does it say that?
No, I'm asking you.
I think you can.
Because Paramount's pretty expensive right now.
You can pay Paramount. Now, I get my Walmart, a W
Let
company.
Let me ask a question again. Do you know if your Roku subscription includes Paramount?
I don't know. I don't know.
Great.
I get
All
Paramount
right.
through Amazon Prime.
How much do you? Oh, you do?
Yeah.
I have Amazon Prime. I don't get Paramount.
I think it's $4.95. I'm not sure.
I'll take another look, because I like, there's a couple of shows on Paramount that I like, but anyway, hey, listen, what else we got? That's about it, right?
Well, we've been having fun, and that's why people come, to have fun, learn, get ideas, insight, and have fun on Banter with Bob and Dan. To reach us, webtalkwithbob@gmail.com. We'll be back. Any words of wisdom, Bob, here in this 12/12/24?
My word of wisdom is that get ready for an unbelievably great year. Inflation's going down. The market's going up. Everybody's going to be full of hope and spending money. And when consumers spend money, good things happen. See y'all.
Okay. Bye-bye.